Alrighty, so we've got Local Filmmaker Night, which is going to be coming up on the 18th, and we got a featured film. And it is, I've got a DVD in my hand, as a matter of fact. It's called The Great White Encounter, The Scott Stevens Story. Very exciting stuff. This was, of course, made headlines less than a year ago. Was it October you were saying?
October 30th was the day that he was bit by the shark.
Wow, that is really amazing. And this happened, you know, right here, like at the Eureka Jetty, right?
Right off the North Jetty, right at Bunkers,
wow.
Which is the place where they, you know, a lot of surfers go out from there.
Uh-huh. That's just a fantastic story. There's a picture you can see on the DVD here of his surfboard with a bite taken out of it, almost like a cartoon bite, like you would expect
right.
to see from a cartoon. It's just the perfect chomp.
And the bite board, as we call it, mm-hmm. is on display at the Lost Coast Brewery.
Mm-hmm.
It's right up there, right next to, you know, signs about their great white ale. So,
perfect.
Yeah, it's perfect.
Wow, it turned into a little marketing campaign for beer.
Yeah.
I guess you survive something like that. You know, you might as well have fun with it.
Yeah.
So, now you're one of four filmmakers.
Right, there are four of us, myself, Ted Okel, Michael McClyman, and Robert Stoneman. And we all got together basically because Scott contacted the digital media department at College of the Redwoods and asked if there might be any students who'd be interested in coming down and just filming a five-minute piece mm-hmm. about him telling his story about what happened that day. So we went down to the beach to film him. And as we're filming him, we're realizing that there's so much more to the story. And the story really becomes about the people that were on the beach that day who worked together to save his life, and not so much, you know, kind of a Jaws sort of story with, you know, lots of sensationalism. It's really more about the people that did the right thing in the moment.
Oh, he obviously survived it. What were his injuries?
He had some major bites in his flesh, but luckily they missed all the major organs and missed some of the areas where he really could have bled out from the injuries. But really, if the other surfers hadn't put compression on the wounds, it would have been all over. And the interesting thing, according to the doctor, one of the things that they did was not being able to put compression on such a big area with any sort of with their hands or anything, because their hands just went right into the wounds. They laid on him. They had one guy on each side, and they just laid on his wounds and caused the wounds to seal to the point where they weren't bleeding as profusely as they had been. And really, that kind of quick thinking and thinking outside of the box is really what saved his life.
Wow. Now, you would think after an experience like this that you would hang up the surfboard and say, okay, I'm
done
with
it. Would. I definitely would hang up the surfboard. But he was back in the water 4 weeks after the bite.
That's crazy.
And then he was surfing in Peru 3 months later. Well, so,
he probably knew if he didn't get back in there, he was never going to get back in.
Yeah, I think so.
Wow. That is really something else. So you've got lots of GoPro video of him
surfing,
right?
Well, one of the neat things, we were all kind of working with equipment we had checked out from Access Humboldt, and some of the filmmakers had their own cameras, but we just down there on the beach were just like, really, we need to get in the water to film this. And so we started talking about, well, how can we get in the water with a camera? And of course, GoPro has waterproof cameras.
Sure.
And I thought, well, I could just approach him and say, hey, can we borrow a camera? And I emailed them, and they donated a camera to us.
Really?
And that was really nice because we were able to get that mounted on surfboards, so get that footage in the water. And then Ben Bateman, who's a local guy who has, it's basically like a helicopter sort of drone device. We were able to put pretty amazing. You put the camera on that, and we were able to get some great overhead footage, and so really increase the production value of, you know, what we were doing out there.
Wow.
Yeah, that's pretty neat.
Now, one of the things that's kind of amazing, if you take a look at that big bite and you go, wow, that is truly extraordinary. From what I understand, this shark was a juvenile.
Yeah, just a youngster. So imagine what a full-grown one would have done.
Oh, no.
It's a gigantic bite. And luckily, he had the surfboard there, because that's really what they estimate the bottom teeth. Yeah, that took the brunt of the bottom teeth. If he hadn't had that, he would have been gone. And the doctor said also, if he'd been reaching back and doing a full stroke with his arm, he would have lost his arm.
Wow.
Oh, my
Yeah, really, so he's just really, really lucky. I mean, when you look at him now, you go, yeah, he's got some little wavy little scar marks on his side, but you just never would guess the intensity of the bite.
Yeah. No, I mean, these things are sensational, but we probably should point out that these kind of shark attacks are very rare. I mean, that's right. Why it's news.
It's like they say, more sharks are eaten by people than people eaten by sharks. Is where
more.
You know. Yeah, right. So we really shouldn't hold it against them. So
that is true, yeah. and it's from what I understand, you know. Yeah, it's always a mistake. You know, the sharks don't go out looking for people.
Apparently, we don't taste good to them, so they spit people out pretty quickly. Scott says that he did punch the shark in the nose.
Wow, after. That's what you're supposed to do. Apparently,
it is. But you know, it's to be able to think that quickly and be able to do some action. You know, I don't know. It's probably just all reactions.
Yeah, I don't think I would have thought that quickly.
Here's what you'd be thinking.
Yeah. Really.
That's probably what you'd be thinking.
Exactly.
Yeah, and it actually severed his leash, too. The bite severed the leash to his board, mm-hmm. So he actually had to swim back to his board after he was bit and then paddle in.
Oh,
so,
my gosh.
From what I understand, yeah. You know, the more modern, shorter boards get attacked more because they resemble more of like a seal, plus the wetsuits kind of look like a seal.
Yeah.
Well, it's the legs, mm-hmm. legs and arms hanging down, you mm-hmm. know, and everything with the shape
right.
of the board.
The silhouette, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm looking
at. I actually saw a shark out there one time when I was surfing about 20 years ago, and that was probably the last time I surfed the day. It was a couple hundred feet away coming towards us, and I went, that's not a dolphin. I'm out of here. Yeah.
Yeah. That was enough for you.
Yeah.
So this film is going to be shown mm-hmm. during this local filmmakers night, correct?
Correct.
So folks can get a chance to see that. It's coming up on July 18th, which is very soon. Doors open at 6:30. Film is at 7. It's the Eureka High School Lecture Hall.
Yes. And we'll be showing the film in its entirety. Normally,
nice.
During our local filmmakers nights, we show pieces mm-hmm. of filmmakers' work.
Right.
But for this special one, we're going to be showing the whole film, so people get to hear the whole story.
That is really wonderful. Are there any other films going to be looked at, featured, or anything else during that?
No, not for this presentation. No.
Okay, so
yeah, it'll just be focused on this one, so it'll be great.
Wonderful. And are you guys going to be getting to talk to the folks who come out?
Yes, and in fact, Scott Stevens will be there too.
Oh,
so if people have questions about his experience, he'd be there to answer those, and then we'll be there to talk about, you know, our journey through making this film and the things that we learned while we were doing it.
How long is the film?
It's about 40 minutes.
Okay, excellent. And again, it is called Great White Encounter, the Scott Stevens story. And you can see it on July 18th. Can people get DVDs of this as well? I see you got a DVD here.
Well, not yet,
not
but
yet.
We're hoping that eventually we'll be able to distribute them somehow.
Yeah, that'll be good.
Yeah.
That'll be good. And Cassandra, Local Filmmakers Night, how long has this been going on?
It's gone on about 2 years now that we've done it. I forget which number we're actually on. We've done so many of them now. But it's a great little series that we came up with when I first started out as film commissioner to kind of promote our local filmmakers so that way they would feel that we, you know, we really appreciate and love what they do and that we acknowledge them. And you know, when big jobs come in, we can't necessarily always get them a big job. It depends on if the crew's bringing crew out of town or not, you know. And so because of that, I wanted to show my support to local filmmakers and be able to acknowledge them in a different way. And so we went, well, what is the work that they're actually already doing here? And let's feature that. Let's have them do some type of Q&A and talk to the audience and let them know how they maybe filmed something or how did the process go and how did it work out for them. So we've done all kinds of different ones from Ferndale Museum documentaries to Maria Mattioli's feature film that she did. And it's been a great you know, little event where people can come out and they can see these little snippets of work that these filmmakers do, as well as ask these questions. And then we often have a reception. With this one, we won't be having a reception afterwards, but it's this great little evening that we provide for the local filmmaker, as well as then the locals to come and check out who's here and what they're doing.
Sure. You know, of course, it's always very exciting when a big film crew comes in. After Earth, of course, was the big one that just happened here. And it was
right.
All very exciting, but there's actually more local stuff that happens, and you know, the reality is that you know, more and more people, you know, with just their home computers have the capability of getting into filmmaking. Everyone has a chance to do this. It's very accessible right now. And talking to folks who have made these kind of feature documentaries and feature films, you can kind of get a better idea of how to take it to that next level.
Yeah, and it exploded about 13 years ago, right around 2000, 2001. It took off with the digital era,
yep.
And that really allowed accessibility.
Sure.
And because of that, a lot of more people are filmmakers than the traditional sense, for sure.
Yeah, I got an iMac in 2001, and it came with iMovie. And
right.
I was like, wow, let's see what I can do. Holy cow, I can make a movie.
You can make a movie. And what's fun for us is we get to know all our local filmmakers through this. And then that actually helps me because besides the bigger movies, we get tons of smaller crews. Like today, we have a crew that's out. I can't tell you where it is, but it's
in
Humboldt. It's a secret. And they're rigging today, and they needed a couple of local guys. And so I was able to go put them on there, And there's just, it really lets me know who's here from these kind of events. And then we're able to place them into a job.
Cool. Well, it's anyone who's interested in the story, the Scott Stevens story, should check that out. It's a local filmmaker night again. It's the 18th. Doors open at 6:30. Film is at 7, it's Eureka High School Lecture Hall. What's the cost?
It's $5.
$5, that's a bargain and a half.
Yeah.
And a chance for a little Q&A with the filmmakers and with Scott Stevens himself, which is pretty cool.
Yep.
Yeah, can't beat that. All right, well, thank you both for coming out.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.